Space. Time. Reality. It's more than a linear path. It's a prison of endless possibility.
There we go. We got the run. Inhale deep.
All right, everybody. Watchers of the Plus coming at you. This is Sam J. Adams coming at you from a different multiverse where we record two podcasts in 1 week. Hmm. It must be people. It must not be the 616 universe because over on the other mic, I got my man Phil Mills. Like, how you doing, Phil?
Hey, what's the J stand for today?
J.
In this universe.
Now still the same as Homer, J.
Okay.
I didn't put the Yule at the end of Sam.
Okay, so we watched a bunch of The Boys, but then there was stuff that we have been watching because we haven't been talking very long. Actually we haven't talked in way too long. And so we've seen a bunch of things. And I think we just got to talk about what we saw.
Yeah, I'd say let's get the movies out of the way first, because then I got some streaming thoughts that we can get into.
Sure.
Let's get into the one that's actually streaming first. You finally got to see The Batman, and I haven't heard any of your thoughts on this, which I've talked to people that have seen it at home and liked it. And I've come to the conclusion, having watched it twice in the theater and once at home, that I like it both. I like it either way, but man, I really think you're missing out not seeing it in a theater. It's a lot more of an experience. Yeah.
So I
assume you probably streamed it, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. So I do have a subwoofer and a decent sound bar. I don't have surround sound. However, I will say the soundtrack, very interesting. I cringe a little bit when movies are using Nirvana, and specifically when they are doing Nirvana covers. I find that very strange.
They didn't cover it though. That's the actual song.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So that, either way, it's one of those weird things. It's like being a child in that, you know, I was in high school when that hit. And so there's a Gen X thing where it's like, I don't really want you to use the music that I listen to in movies.
I love it, you know? So I love it's in a movie, or when I see, maybe that's the new editor in me that I feel
like you're trying to trick me.
No, not at all. Like I take inspiration from song. Like I will literally.
Well, no, I mean, no, not you personally. It feels like a director that I know is younger than me is trying to pull my age group in. And it feels like a ploy. That being said, I did not. If you took the Nolan movies, I don't think this can really hold a jock to Nolan's movies. However, there are things that I thought were interesting, but it didn't. It kind of took on the things I like about the detective portion of Batman. It started to get into, but then it was like, wait a minute, this is fucking Seven. Wait a minute, this is another movie that I've seen, and they're aping like things off of that. And it really threw me. I was like, yeah, I'm not the guy that you wanted to see for me to see this, because I've seen the movies that you're ripping off here.
Yeah. I think that is where we get into that whole, the age of the fan filmmaker, you know, where people see, you know, like that Star Wars shot of the TIE fighters, where it's very obviously a, uh, what's that Vietnam movie that they're ripping off?
Apocalypse Now?
It's like an Apocalypse Now of TIE fighters coming in. Like, where sometimes things are meant to be homages and maybe they come off as a little bit too much of a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit, I was a little surprised by the Incomparables coverage of the Batman because people seem to be pretty critical of it. And yeah, I'll admit.
Oh, for real? They were critical? I'm not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I came away feeling like none of them liked it, even though I think at the end they said they did. I think sometimes it's just easier to point out the little stupid shit you notice in movies as opposed to
When you have your hand on something, you feel the rough spots.
I think the one that people really had trouble with was the constant maps in floors thing. But I think sometimes you do something weird like that in a movie, a shorthand for someone thinking about something is like, yeah, they lay it out all over the table.
I can get that. Yeah.
But, you know, and I think I definitely think it was the Incomparable. They pointed out, they're like, so did he get little light bulbs for where he was going to put the bombs for the map underneath the carpet in the Riddler's apartment, you know, kind of thing where it's like, you see all the little lights. So it's like, oh yeah. But like, sometimes I feel like that's just shorthand for, you know, we're showing you what's about to happen. This is the visual. Like, I think sometimes you have to not be so literal or whatever. This is art, and it's supposed to be. But I do think that, you know, there is something about, you know, those things that do take you out of a movie. But for the most part, I thought that, I think I said this when I first talked to you about it without giving too much away, that it was a nice mixture of the realness of the Nolan universe and maybe the more filmmaker driven shots and camera angles and things like that with the Gotham as a character of the Batman 89 thing. You know, like, I love the shots of like Gotham Square when he's like zooming around in the different times and where you go by Gotham Gardens and stuff. Like,
yeah, Sam, what I really did like was that we had a lot of Batman, not a lot of Bruce Wayne.
This is a Batman movie. And even when he is Bruce Wayne, you could tell he'd rather be with a hoodie on, with his eye black on, ready to put the Batman costume on.
Yeah, and I didn't see that as like emo Batman at all.
No, he was Matches Malone.
Yeah, I was literally okay with that. And I'm okay with more Batman versus less Bruce Wayne. I was totally okay with that. The only part, some of the parts that I really had a problem with, and this is coming from other avenues, for example, The Boys. When someone gets shot, chances are it's not just a flesh wound. It can happen, but when the mayor got shot from a high angle, that seems death to me. The other thing that I had a real strong problem with was that, number one, she lived. And then when Batman brought everybody, see, when you have flooding, you don't put people in the water. You go to higher ground every time, because the tides will, if you bring that many people in, you're going to have a problem. And I know what it was supposed to represent was Batman was the symbol. The other problem is the self-narration. Don't ever fucking tell me what you think. Show it to me. And Batman did that multiple times, and they said their actions out loud and they said their thoughts. That would have been much more interesting and much more impactful if, you know, and I would have probably let go the whole bring everybody into the high tide in the flooding and that everybody was saved. At the end, he doesn't have to tell me that he's now not vengeance and now he's hope. Show that to me.
Don't tell me that, Sam. Well, I thought it worked in that in his very first scene, he beats up that gang, saves that guy. And he says,
I'm vengeance. I'm okay with that part.
No, not that. It's that the commuter says, don't hurt me. And he's kind of confused. He's like, why does this guy think I want to beat him up? And then when he's on the roof and that lady won't let go until he lets her know it's okay.
Yeah.
So that she can be airlifted off. That's when he realizes that he's become more and that, you know, the you know, stopping beating everybody up and saving the people instead. He needs to let people know, here, I'm here to save you. I'm not here. I can only go so far just beating people
up. That's fine. You don't ever tell me that in a voiceover. Don't tell me that.
I thought it worked for me. And like, honestly, like I was ready to hate that whole flooding act. Like I thought the movie didn't need it. Like I was doing this, like
it didn't need it, Sam.
The Riddler, you know, but it kind of worked for me with that last part. Like that, just the fact that it was like, oh, okay. He's learned that he has to. And it's funny because they throw that vengeance thing in his face constantly in the movie. They're like, hey, Mr. Vengeance here, don't bite. They're like, hey, Vengeance, you think you can mess with my money? You know, like they aren't. He's not scaring everybody. And so he realizes like, oh, hey, the fear thing's only going to get me so far. I have to be more. I think that's trends to him being a better Bruce Wayne, to being a better Batman, to being like a little better everything. And it's
well, and yeah, the whole Hannibal Lecter thing with Joker, I thought was weak. That was weak sauce.
Yeah, I honestly don't really want that, especially if you see the deleted scene that they released.
I saw it. It's absolutely.
I don't like the design.
No, nothing about it is good.
I don't mind the voice, but like the only thing I liked about it was finding out that he handed him a file, and when the file was handed back, all the paper clips were gone. I'm like, oh, that's a cool little like.
Oh well, so you detail. saw something I didn't even see.
Oh, and I didn't see it either. It was one of those things that was pointed out on Twitter or Reddit.
That's what I'm saying. It's like we shouldn't have to reach that far in. But like that was Hannibal Lecter, and again, like I ape off good things, and those are all good movies. But build off of it.
I will admit, I think that. I think it might be my favorite Batman movie just because.
Whoa, wow.
Yeah,
really?
There's some inconsistencies in it. Sometimes he gets shot and it knocks him out. Sometimes he gets shot and the bullets just bounce off. Like, yeah, there's a little bit of plot armor in this movie. But I don't know. I just really connected with it. I thought that Robert Pattinson did this great job of being this.
I love the youthful energy.
And that he's kind of a broken person. Like, he's mm-hmm. never even considered maybe having love in his life until he almost loses Alfred and he has this cat lady like give him a little smooch. And he's like, wow, this is the first time I've ever been torn and thought about anything else. But like my mission goes on, you know? So I would love to see more of it. I know The Incomparable was kind of like, you know what, how about we just give a new Batman movie to a new director and a new actor every like 3 or 4 years and just have it be like that. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool too. But I would like to see more of Matt Reeves and what he has in store. Like he's talked about maybe doing Mr. Freeze. I was very disappointed that they went out of their way to say that thing he injected himself with at the end wasn't venom. They were like, nope, it was just adrenaline. I was like, oh man, that would have been a nice little Easter egg to be like, he had some Bane venom on him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like a neat thing to be like, yeah, this world does have a little supernatural kind of tint to it. It's just, you haven't really seen it yet.
I think where they missed a little bit for me was they didn't give enough time to flesh out who Bruce Wayne is in year one, year two, or year three, wherever they're at in this.
I think it's supposed to be like year two,
which is fine. I am totally okay with that. You know, how many bad guys do you need to have in this? Like you had the Penguin, and I feel like that was a real, like, I mean, Colin Farrell, you couldn't even recognize the guy, and he was barely really a part of it. Like things were happening, but I couldn't follow exactly how they were following in the story. And I watched it with my girls and we were just mystified a little bit. I mean, there were things that we enjoyed about it, but you know, if I put this against Dark Knight, I don't know.
Well, I think it's just different too. Cause I mean, the Dark Knight is more of the ninja assassin Batman kind of perfect at everything. Whereas this one, he's a little bit more clumsy. Like he actually doesn't really prevent any murders other than him not being home to get his mail to have himself killed.
And I'm glad they didn't do an origin story all over again.
Yeah, and I like that. I liked how they teased that the Riddler knew who he was, but then it turns out he didn't. You know, like I thought that was something that they even kind of put in the trailers where they had him going, Bruce Wayne, you know. So I thought that was a nice, I don't know. I just thought this movie had a lot of great tense moments. And I just had me kind of on the edge of my seat, not exactly sure where it was going to go. So I appreciate not, you know, that not knowing yet. Yeah, does it ape a few things? Sure. But, you know, I like the new direction. I thought Robert Pattinson crushed it. I thought I liked new Alfred.
And when I mean aping, like I want to make it really clear, like it's, you're not improving upon a scene that I have seen in history and making it better. You are taking a direct, almost one for one, shot for shot and mood. And you're saying, remember this? This is what you're supposed to feel. That's no good. You need to take that and you need to make Matt Reeves needs to make it his own. That personally, I didn't see that happening. I saw it as I am taking this thing that you've seen. I'm going to apply it to here. Oh, now you understand what he's doing. This is Seven. This is Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I see what you mean, but I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I thought it was a good job of adapting kind of that Batman world that's maybe a little crazier, like Tim Burton and everything, with a little bit of the Nolan.
Yeah.
And it was a little more filmmaker. It wasn't just Chicago, you know.
I want to see another Robert Pattinson movie for sure.
Yeah. And I like that he said that he would love to have a Robin, but only if it was like a 13-year-old, like a comic comic accurate age, and really have that awkwardness of like, oh my God, I'm training this like kid to to be fucked up like me. Kind of
that
thing.
Would be
like,
interesting. They haven't done Robin in a real way since, well, I mean, I say real way. They haven't done it since Schumacher, and that was shit. And
think about it. Like, this movie isn't afraid to ask, is Batman crazy? Like, his mom is an Arkham. It's like, she was in and out of asylums, and he has this broken past that would cause trauma for anybody. And maybe he hasn't dealt with it properly, and maybe he's just as fucked up as the Joker or these other guys, except he's just pointed in the direction of angels type of thing. So I like that they're not afraid to ask things. Like, they literally ask the questions like, am I even having an impact? Like, am I doing the right thing? Like, you know, that's something that people always say is like, shouldn't he be spending his billions on schools and teachers and anti-gun reform, as opposed to just beating people up on rooftops in like billion-dollar suits kind of thing. So
yeah,
I like that they kind of touch on that. And so I think almost sometimes in these movies, the second or third ones are the best ones. So, you know, if they're going to make one or two more of these, I'd love it.
I don't
think this will ever cross over with anything, though. I think this will be its own thing. I don't think that we're going to see.
I'm Robert okay Pattinson with that. I don't think DC Flash needs movie. To do that. DC doesn't need to get in the Marvel hole.
I think, honestly, if DC wanted to kind of half-ass continue the Snyderverse, they could. Like, everybody loves Henry Cavill. I don't know why they hate him so much. Like, it doesn't make any sense that of all the things, they're like, yeah, this Superman's a real asshole, and he's just like, I'm so charming, everybody really likes me, who are you gonna get to replace me? Like, I don't get it. Just how about you just write a good, put me in a good movie.
Yeah, DC, it's best that it remains separate entities. It does not have to do what Marvel does and try to interlock every goddamn thing.
Well, I think that's where Marvel's done better of late. Like,
Stop right there, because we're going to get into it.
Well, Moon Knight didn't connect to anything really at all. I mean, I think they might. They didn't even really mention the blip in it. It was really just its own thing.
It's fine. But we're going to stay in cinema, and we're going to go to Doctor Strange.
Yeah, let's go to Doctor Strange, because I know you've got gripes. I've got one major one. And
Sam, here's the first one. You ready?
Yeah.
You and I both watched WandaVision. What happens to people who haven't watched it?
That was my first thing going into this, is that I'm in this MCU Facebook group with some friends, and a constant thing that people ask is, what movies do you think somebody should have watched to prepare for this upcoming movie? And I thought about it. I was like, damn, for this one, you need to have watched Doctor Strange, Infinity War, Endgame, and WandaVision. You need to have watched, let's see, that's two. I mean, it's almost 6 hours a movie between Infinity War. Yeah. So that's eight hours a movie and 6 hours of TV show to prepare for this 2 hour movie. And even then, are you going to get the full, experience of someone that hasn't watched What If, that hasn't watched the X-Men animated show,
yep,
that hasn't watched Inhumans as a joke, just to see, yep, how bad it was, to watch, to know who John Krasinski is or who Mr. Fantastic is and why that's such a big deal.
You have to be on Twitter to see fan-made stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, to get the full experience for these movies now, it really is kind of like I literally kind of was joking with my fiance. I was like, I might need to make you watch WandaVision. She's like, what? I was like, just hear me out. You still want to go see Doctor Strange, right? She's like, yeah. I was like, well, you've seen everything else, and this won't make as much sense unless you watch WandaVision.
And here's the problem, Sam, is, and this,
and maybe
this,
that's part of their evil Vought plan.
it's possible, but the problem is you can't
bog down in this.
Or? Well, and I think this is where the MCU is going completely into a sideways motion, which is they're calling it a Doctor Strange movie, but it's not a Doctor Strange movie. He is not the main character of this movie.
Who is?
Wanda and Chavez.
I would say this is, well, and so that's the thing, is I don't mind, I liked it when you're like, oh, look at this, I got a Thor movie with a Hulk movie, or like, hey, look at my Captain America movie was secretly an Avengers movie,
because there was symmetry to it. It was a team up, it was a crossover movie. In the comics, we had crossover comics where we would have, you know, Daredevil and Spider-Man for a couple episodes and a couple issues. This was not that. And it was not made well. The story was really strange. Pardon my pun. It just didn't line up real well. We only went to three different multiverses.
Well, and there's where we were going to really get in this, is that, how are you going to call something the Multiverse of Madness, and then you show us 90% of any multiversal shit we're going to see in the trailer? Like, you shouldn't have shown that trip through all the different multiverses.
That was exciting.
With the Savage Land. That should have never been in the marketing material. They should have never put the Illuminati in it. You should have seen the Strange at the very beginning, who gets killed in the first scene. Like, sure, show that all you want. It's the first scene. Who gives a shit? They could have started with the
Strange that got killed by the Illuminati. Start with that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have mind seeing. I didn't mind seeing the zombie Strange, because it was kind of a twist as how he even showed up. Like, I thought it was going to be the bad guy they fought at the end, and it turns out it's actually Doctor Strange saving the day in a zombie body. So like, I didn't mind seeing that, but like, the fact that you showed every member of the Illuminati except for two, one of which is like, it's fucking Black Bolt, who gives a shit? Like, it was funny seeing him there in his costume and having it be accurate and showing how his powers work. Like, it was kind of awesome seeing like, oh, look at, they actually can make this look 10 times better than that stupid TV show ever did. Yeah. But like,
and Sam, if you like this movie, and we haven't discussed if you like it or if you don't, I don't want to turn you. That's not my intention.
This is one that I've been wanting to go back and watch, because I kind of felt like, I enjoyed it. It was a ride. Here's the thing is I feel like there's certain movies that have come out that you're like, oh, this is a Marvel movie again. Like the Spider-Man movie was that.
You want it to be. You want it to be.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, Eternals wasn't.
No.
You know, Shang-Chi was, but it was so just, it was, that was another one that was really, the only connection was that whole Iron Man 3 character being in it. Like, other than that, it really didn't have a whole lot to do with the wider MCU. That and the Wong and Abomination little cameo.
Yeah.
But really, that was just window dressing. Like, it really didn't have much effect. So, like, this is the first time I'm like, we're getting back into actual, like, Avengers doing stuff, what they're up to. And really, just, like, it felt like they ruined this in the trailers. And, like you said, it just, we're going to call something the Multiverse of Madness. Like, I was expecting at least two more Doctor Stranges. I was expecting a few different versions of a couple different characters. Like, we get two Wandas. We get, let's see, we get
and Sam,
the Doctor Strange that died, that is also the Zombie Strange. So that's the same one. It's not even different ones.
Nope.
The main one, the one that dies in the other universe, and then do we only get three?
Three. That's it.
Yeah.
Sam.
That's wild.
Sam. Because the only other multiverses we saw, and really it was four, but it was because of a plot piece, which was that memory thing where they stand on and see each other's memories, which
yeah,
is the biggest
weird.
No, it wasn't weird, it was bullshit is what it was.
I mean, here's the thing, you want to have that be a plot device, okay, that is, that do they put that right next to the pizza popper stand on Fifth Street? Like,
yes.
It's like, yeah, hey, we want everyone to show like this devastating memory of yours on the middle of your walk to get your bagel.
Well, and then, like,
it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, and then you slide in, well, your universe is the only one that you have to pay for food.
Well, I thought
fuck
that was
you.
Just funny. No, fuck you.
That's bullshit. That is a slide.
No, I thought that was just a weird little, like, oh, here's a thing that you'd never think of that other places might think is weird. You know, like, kind of like, I thought it was just a fun little, like, I thought it could have been anything. It'd been like, oh yeah, it's so weird that it's so weird you guys don't have to pay for air or something. Like, it could have been something like that or what, you know, whatever.
Okay. I'll get you there.
I think it was just a throwaway line. I don't think it was meant to any kind of virtue signal-y type of.
I think there was a little of a communism piece in there, but I will let it slide for now. I will let that slide.
Yeah, plus that was, and plus I think that was also a reshoot because the
I think we had a lot of reshoots in this.
Well, the rumor was that if originally, what's that actor's name? The Pizza Papa.
Bruce
Campbell.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell.
Originally,
I met him one time in an airport.
Yeah, I think originally the Illuminati was supposed to have a little more generic members, and then they decide. I think after Spider-Man, they decided like, oh, let's take it up a notch, kind of thing. And so I think originally he was supposed to be playing Balder the Brave, which is like Thor's brother in the comics. So he was supposed to be a member of the Illuminati. So I think the Illuminati was supposed to be a little less star-studded.
This is why the Illuminati should have been
and that's why I forgive that line, because it's like, oh, that's obviously just a reshoot they threw in to give this guy a different cameo. And it's them walking down the
well,
lane
and it's
or whatever.
It, you know, Bruce is Sam's friend, and we know that. I mean, but like. And they have history, but like, this is why the Illuminati shouldn't have been there, because the fight that happened was absolutely atrocious. Like,
I expected it.
It was funny. It was funny for a second to see Black Bolt's head get blown out. That was interesting. But if you notice, it was never. Guy can never fight girl. It always has to be girl fights girl or girl fights guy. That you can't have it any other way. And then, so like, while these two are getting shredded, everyone's standing around. You have Captain Marvel, who has superpowers, like, didn't stop Wanda at all. And then, you know, Captain Carter, who I really like. I mean, I really like that character a lot. Even in What If, I really did like that idea of the Captain America with Carter. And then she gets split in half, which, you know, again, it was shocking, but, you know, that fight really didn't do very much. And then freaking Strange just leaves what's his face Mordo in a pit in a crevasse, and then like just jumps out, and then that's it. It was so weird.
Now, see, I didn't run into that. I kind of expected them to go once, because I thought they did a pretty good job of not revealing in the trailers that Wanda was actually the villain. Like, they've actually showed some shots where it looked like she was fighting alongside
But they broke out. She's the villain at the very almost in the first third of the movie.
Oh, but I was fine with that. Like, I thought that was good rather than have it, because like, I do think that the Marvel stuff has gotten bogged down in mysteries too much, that it thinks we need to have a big mystery behind something to get people to come back. Like,
okay.
Moon Knight did it with like, who's this? And like, and even getting to the fact that they don't even really introduce the third personality and show you that that's a thing until the last episode and the last scene. Like, for a show that's like, oh, we're not going to have a season two. Well, they really ended it on a weird note, if that's the case. But like, where was I going with that?
I'm not sure.
No, but I think that I was expecting them to get once I knew Wanda was the bad guy and that's why she was fighting the Illuminati in the trailers and everything, because they show her and like Captain Marvel fighting at one point. And I thought it might be she was trying to save America and Strange or something like that, or you know, that they were all working together. And so when I realized that she was the bad guy, I was like, oh, she's going to mop the floor with these guys. Cause I looked at it, I was like, and that's why I wondered if we actually do get Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic, or if this is them saying like, we understand you guys wanted him, but it's not going to be him. So here's your little taste. He's going to get murdered here.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't surprised. Cause I think they really wanted to show just how powerful Wanda was, and that she was kind of this unstoppable force with the Darkhold and everything. So, yeah, I mean, you had to know that she had this evil book that made her go. And it's they kind of almost repeat the same mistake the comics did. That they're like, oh, something tragic happened to her, and then she went crazy.
but the stakes didn't feel big enough.
Yeah, I mean, they try. Oh, you know what? That was the other Strange we got, was the Incursion Strange with the third eye. We got him. And so
that
we got
fight,
to see,
like, Sam, can we just say that fight sucked ass?
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing too, is that I wouldn't say that there was a fight or a like sequence where I was like, oh, I want to see that again. Like, I mean, yeah, the scene where they're breaking through different realities, I want to see again, or you know, things
but
like that.
But like when we're fighting each other with notes. Like that Strange actually,
I mean,
was probably
I actually
interesting.
Liked that was
you liked
cool.
You liked it for a little while, but then it became weird.
Yeah, but I mean, I always thought of Doctor Strange as weird. So I mean, I think that's why this movie worked for me a little bit, is because they leaned into some more of that weirdness. And
you know,
that.
Sam, I'm not allowed to say retarded anymore, because apparently that's verboten. So I've got to say, you know, I think it was a very neuroatypical fight scene.
But I mean, I do think that you could tell this movie did suffer through some reshoots. I mean, heck, they have this marketing material that like Bull Man all over the marketing stuff. And then he's literally like in one scene, like holding up a shield against one.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah.
You don't even see what happens to him.
Well, it's so, funny because like in like the toy line, like, which is an interesting aspect of this whole thing, is that he's the Build-A-Figure of the Multiverse of Madness line. But why would you want him? I mean, the voice is weird, and like,
is he like the Boba Fett of this movie, where it's like,
but barely,
he's in the background for 2 seconds and people think he looks cool? So
yeah,
I mean, like, Boba Fett had more screen time than this guy
well
does,
and frankly, Strange isn't even the he's not even the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, you know, that's a funny joke, but it's weird that he hasn't like regained the title yet. It's, you know, but I think it's just a running gag.
And honestly, the you know, we're all supposed to get, you know, chubbed up over the after credit scenes.
Yeah.
Not great.
I thought the second after credit scene totally negated the first one. The first one is like, oh my God, I have this eye. That's what the evil Doctor Strange had. Ah, and then the next one is, okay, let me open up this eye, I gotta go help out this lady. And it's like, oh, so that was never a problem. So like, I didn't get that. And then yeah, the Pizza Papa, I was like, that's definitely a That's for deep cut Sam Raimi fans yeah. to understand. And it is not worth sitting through the credits for, that's for sure.
And again, I'm not here to tell people like what they liked actually sucked. Because I mean, people get mad at me when I tell them that they're wrong. But mm-hmm. it wasn't good. I was very excited about it, and it wasn't anywhere near where I thought it was going to be.
You know what I felt like it maybe where it failed is it learned the wrong lessons from the Spider-Man movie. And whereas the Spider-Man movie is like a ton of references. I mean, they're referencing memes that got popular on the internet. They're referencing plot lines from all three franchises there. But I mean, they're paying them off. You know, there's Andrew Garfield catching Peter's girlfriend and redeeming himself where he didn't catch.
Fantastic. You know, right.
There's Peter saving the Green Goblin, the original, or Peter two or Peter one, or whatever, saving the Green Goblin. Whereas our MCU Peter wants to kill him, and that's his redemption. And you know, they're paying all this stuff off. Whereas this one, it felt like it more leaned into the cameos and those kind of things, as opposed to giving us those I feel some sort of way about, you know, him meeting a Christine who doesn't have a Doctor Strange, and he wonders if it could work out between him, and he gets to tell her that, you know, he does love her, and that he, you know, something that he probably never told her before, type of thing. But it didn't really have that much like emotional resonance with you watching it. Like, did you know that he was going through very much? Like, it seemed like he went to her wedding, was kind of bummed out, and then he went to go fight an adventure, was totally over it, and then he met another Christine, and he's like, oh yeah, I dig you. I wish I'd have been cooler to you in my reality or something.
Yeah, I don't know where it was going.
And they've kind of made it established that much like their weird time travel establishing stuff, is now they've made it so that when you go to a different dimension, you cause an incursion. So I wonder how that's going to rectify itself, because.
Well, you know, I'm hoping Kang the Conqueror just makes everything go away. Now
I have a feeling everything's going to be a mess and get reset at some point.
Sure. Sam, I haven't brought this up because this will be the controversial part. This is the part that I'm going to catch heat for and we'll probably get kicked off for. But here I'm going to go. You ready? Mm-hmm. America Chavez. Okay. So this actress, within the first 5 minutes, I'm thinking to myself, these are the takes that you took. Now, I understand, I will accept that it is very hard to act on green screen and with things that you cannot see. But if you were to watch this film again, the way I did the first time, she literally has no idea how to behave or act or pretend that these things are happening to her. It looks very high school. Like the way in which she's behaving, like when what she's trying to act against. Okay. The character, as far as I understand, again, I'm an old man. This is a new character, but I also know that it hasn't been a big seller. I know what they were trying to do with it. I just don't get it. It's like, you got to show me more. Like, you cannot. Yeah,
she wasn't really like a big character, really. She was kind of just a MacGuffin almost. It was almost like she was a reality stone that could talk. Like,
yeah. They didn't give
her a lot to do. And plus, I always find that boring when it's like, I can't control my powers. And it's like, cool. So you're not going to be worth, we're going to be like worthless for most of the movie, you know,
yeah.
kind of thing. So
like, but, yeah, but
I
mean, like,
I thought she was interesting as a, like, I thought she had a good look for the character. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I think this movie might've got hacked up in the editing room and the reshoots, as much as the rumors said they did, and that maybe putting it together into one cohesive story might've turned a little tricky at some point.
Yeah, something went terribly wrong, because had I looked at like the dailies and like the previs of what was happening, I'd be like, this is not good. We got to redo this. And that didn't happen. And it really threw me off. And quite honestly, with already having a good, like, starfish villain, like from Suicide Squad, like, I was just like, this doesn't seem good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I noticed really quick those, like, and again, straight from WandaVision, you wouldn't notice this unless you saw WandaVision, that there was those spell.
Oh, the runes?
Ruins or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, because they point that out at one point, and I was like, oh, that, yeah, for sure, that was somebody controlling it, because that was somebody that sent that monster. Or whatever.
Yeah,
so that's why I didn't mind the Wanda reveal that's quick. You know, I think it just went from really quick from her being like, I just don't think that she thought about her options. You know what I mean? Like, I think she kind of jumped to, I'm going to kill this one person in the multiverse and steal her powers so that I can have my kids back. And didn't really think about it and be like,
all right, well, so Sam, this, I mean, when we look at like, if we scale all the Marvels, okay, so this is somewhere between Eternals and Thor, the Dark Elves.
I mean, I'd put it above those two, but I mean, yeah, it for as much hype as it had and as much,
yes,
I mean, it really didn't hit the mark. I mean, I enjoyed it, but would I put it up there with like
my favorite movies? Sam, like a rewatch? You wanted to enjoy it.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but I mean, again, it's been one of those movies that I've been wanting to go back and watch, because I'm like, do I need to put fresh eyes on this and see, you know, without the rose colored seeing it kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, well, speaking of things we're excited of that I'm questioning the visuals. Really seen it yet, but Obi-Wan. I'm really starting.
Oh, we're gonna go straight to goddamn Disney.
I'm really starting to see the seams of this volume thing. Like, I love the idea of it, that like, hey, the monster can be right behind him and we can film it and it looks great on the screen, kind of thing. Great. But when you give me a foot of fire,
mm-hmm,
that Darth Vader blows out with one little and then you reinsert that foot of fire and you make it seem as if, oh no, they've escaped, we can't get past this. Make it consistent. Like, that's the only thing I don't like about these shows, is when, like, just, you know, the action looks a little inconsistent. You know, one thing I've noticed about Star Wars too is the fucking lightsabers get brighter with everything. Like, I went back and watched like the prequels and everything, and it's like the lightsabers don't light up the room. They're just a light sword. Like,
yeah.
Whereas like now it's like they hold it and their whole face is blue, and I'm just like,
yeah,
oh, it's distracting. Like, you're not holding a fucking fluorescent lamp for the garage. You're holding a light sword.
They have done great. They've done a great job with.
They've done some really good stuff. But I have seen, I'm starting to see the seams on it, and I think this is partially a COVID thing. That it's like, you can just because they can't shoot out in the open like they do, it just doesn't seem like the action sequences are as cool when it's shot on this close set volume thing. Like, it seems very TV when they're selling us, like, yeah, hey, these are movie quality, and they're spending movie money on it. That's the thing that blows my mind, is it's not like they're not spending the money. They're spending $100 million on stuff like Obi-Wan. I don't know if they spent quite that much on this or not, but,
and it's just like, I bet you to get McGregor,
it takes me three episodes to get a lightsaber battle, and it's him just shit in the bed and being the shits at it. Like, why are they always holding back these lightsabers?
Sam,
that's half of the reason I watch Star Wars is for lightsabers.
Do you want the truth?
Yeah.
Okay. The truth is this. At the end of the day, Disney needs to stop paying Lucas. Okay. So what you were sold was Obi-Wan in name. That got you in the door. But this is not about Obi-Wan. This is about new characters. New characters that are IP.
Now you say that, but who it's literally like Obi-Wan, Leia, her dad, fucking Darth Vader. Like who do you think they're introducing?
It's the Reva. The Reva girl.
I don't even know that she's gonna survive the series.
Oh, Sam, stop.
She's wilding out. She's too big for a British.
Sam, stop. It's just like Boba Fett.
Is that why everyone's giving all this racist shit to her online? Is she going to be the next Jedi or something?
Well, clearly she's a Jedi. We'll see. That's going to happen. But you'll see. I don't even have to watch it. I'm going to tell you that's what's going to happen. So Boba Fett, what was the problem with Boba Fett? He took his mask off all the goddamn time. That was the problem. And so we had to see friggin', you know, Baldy, but McBalder. But really, the big part of that, the one that created all the action, and this is not, and I'm not going to be tempted to this, that it's like a sexist thing. It's the new character. Who was the new character in Boba Fett? Sidekick, Fennec. Fennec's not in canon. She's in canon now, but she's the badass. So you're getting these series in name, and like for old men like me, I'll watch it, but it's not about that. It's about the new character. And it's the jump off point. It's like kind of the Better Off Saul.
Well, if that's the case, I feel like they're doing a terrible job because
they have to do it slowly.
They already can't do the Gina Carano show. Well, I don't see
she was one of the best characters in that show. She had a really.
I thought that she was a cliche meathead, but it was just interesting because they made the girl the cliche meathead that just carried around a giant gun. Like that's like literally
my least.
That's like literally my least favorite character in the Bad Batch. It's like the giant dumb guy that just punches everything. And it was like that's what she is basically. Like
I could see
multiple times that show where she's just like get out of the way and just shoots it. And you're like oh cool.
But
like,
there was something interesting about her that she was part of. You know she was part of the rebellion, but not really. And you know, there was some interesting, like it was like the Boba Fett scenario where we didn't know a lot about her.
I don't know if I buy into your theory, just because what rich ground is there to pave with like the 10 years between Obi-Wan and A New Hope, like with a Jedi lady that doesn't factor into any of the movies whatsoever.
100% where you're at right now is where I'm at. Instead, why not pave new ground completely? Forget if you want to kill off the Lucas end, do it.
But they don't have any reason to. They've already purchased the IP for him. Like they don't have to pay him more. They paid the $4 billion.
Every time they bring up a Lucas character, Obi-Wan, Boba Fett, Leo.
No, he sold all the rights to that stuff. He's out of that game. That's why he has no say over it.
I don't think so, because that was the whole reason why they didn't do IG-88. They changed the name.
No, I don't think so. Disney bought the four rights. I think your conspiracy theory is.
My needle might be going off in the wrong direction, but we'll leave it to the lawyers. But why not just start from at the end of Jedi? Move on. Do something new.
$4.05 billion.
Right, but are there any? I don't believe it was a bought. Like whole cloth, there is some, like when they mention things or they use things, there is a kickback.
they also make money from the license agreements for merchandise, apparel, and toys. They've already made their money back.
No, the toys are tanking hard.
Well, no, I'm just saying just in movies, they paid $4.05 billion and they've grossed more than $4.8 million at the box office. So just in movies, that's just from The Force Awakens, Rogue One, Last Jedi, and Solo, which wasn't even that big a deal.
My point is this. Why go back when you can go forward?
No, yeah, I mean, I hope that I don't necessarily want to see 8 seasons of Obi-Wan. And this is where my theory is coming in, too, is that I noticed this with Obi-Wan. It was obvious with Boba Fett because they put fucking 2 episodes of The Mandalorian just in the middle of it for no reason. A little bit with Moon Knight. You know, some people would say there was a drag in Hawkeye. Some people would say there was a drag in Loki, that there was drag episodes. I think that Disney focusing on getting a certain amount of episodes out of these is maybe hurting them, like, because they're just not quite, I would say half of them work better as a movie.
Yes.
Moon Knight would be better as a movie and with a little less, you know, bullshit in it. Maybe not Loki, but
this is what scares me about Daredevil.
Same as Obi-Wan, though. I mean, Obi-Wan, we have 3 episodes. Leia gets kidnapped. He saves Leia. She gets kidnapped again. Okay, did we really need 2 kidnappings in the episode or in 3 episodes? It feels like it's stretching it out, you know. And it's like, so I don't know. It just feels like we could have streamlined this into like a 2.5-hour movie, and instead they're like, we'd rather get the six 40-minute episodes.
But why not? Like in my mind.
Well, and here's the other thing too. Before you say this. Can you think of a single episode of a Disney Plus show that you go, oh, that's my favorite episode? Not really. I mean, it's mostly like, I mean, maybe Mandalorian, because that's got some real, that's our strongest thing yet. But
yeah, when Luke comes,
WandaVision,
mm.
You know, if you really like the one, like where she has the flashbacks or something like that was a really strong episode. Episode 8, I think it was.
The only episode I can think of is the one with when Luke comes back.
Yeah. So as opposed to, you know, Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, you could spout off individual episodes. So you're like, oh, this one's great. Or that one's great. You know, I feel like that's where probably the problem is, that they're approaching these like movies, but then they're cutting them up into TV shows. And sometimes it works as an episode of television and sometimes it doesn't. And like, you know, I almost wonder if these would be better off formatted as like 2 90-minute movies or 1 3-hour movie or a 4-episode season or a 5. Like, I think that's where maybe these shows are getting bogged down a little bit, is the kind of the demand requirements of Disney Plus, of like, okay, well, for this to make me viable, we need people to pay for a month and a half.
Right.
Subscription.
That's.
So I think that's where things are getting a little murky with these shows. And I think it's straining them a little bit. Cause it's like I said, this Obi-Wan, there's some really powerful stuff in it where he has this regret. I mean, there's this powerful scene in the 3rd episode,
but why not have Obi-Wan in on Tatooine solving issues? Like, why does he even have to go off planet? Again, I haven't seen Obi-Wan. But like, in my mind, when I think about like the time between old Ben and when he exiled himself, that's very rich material. Keep him on the planet.
Well, and the episode on planet's interesting. You know, you see what he's up to. I really definitely think they could have made him look a little older. It's like he's supposed to be Alan Guinness in like 10 years. Like, give him some gray hairs, you know. But, I mean, the main gist of the story is that Leia gets kidnapped and he goes to go find her. But it's like the president of a planet's daughter is kidnapped and they don't want to, like, they can't tell. And granted, they don't know it's done by.
But you're going to get a Jedi who's supposed to be hiding.
Don't you have an army?
Like, yeah.
You could literally invade a planet. So, I mean, but I also think they're supposed to be a peaceful planet. So maybe they don't, kind of thing. But that's not said. And so there's little plot holes like that where it's like, but there's also really powerful parts where like he's describing, you know, they're on the lam and he's describing, how when he looks at Leia, he sees her mother because he's pretending to be her father.
Yeah.
And they said that we lost her mother. And you could tell how she even notices, like, oh, you're being honest there. You knew my mom. Like, and you see that pain in his eyes of like, I did know your mom when I was there. You know, heck, I delivered you and she died basically in my arms, you know, as I was holding her babies. Like, you know, there's some really powerful stuff there. And then instead it's like, but let's show Leia run away from him and be a brat for no reason whatsoever. So it's just like, there's weird little things where I'm like, was that put in there to just for time so that this stretch this episode out? Like, you know, there's a part where we see someone do parkour, cops the rooftop for 5 minutes and there nothing comes of it. You know, just weird little, you know, shit like that.
But you know, it's funny you mentioned, like, how long are the episodes for Obi-Wan?
40-ish minutes.
Okay. So let me put this to you. And you haven't, I don't think you've watched any of this, which is Stranger Things, season 4.
No, I haven't seen it yet. Those
episodes feel like they're at the same length of The Boys. They're about an hour plus.
Real time hour.
Yes. And it is, I didn't want to get involved with Stranger Things. I thought, like, maybe I was like, boy, I don't know, I'm kind of done with this. But I was hooked. Now, here's the cool thing that I really liked about it, is that the episodes that are out right now on Netflix, that is volume 1 of season 4. Volume 2 is coming out in July. And the cliffhanger is great. And
I hate that, but it's also like, hey, you get two different. I see why I think Netflix is in big trouble. Honestly, I think Netflix is, you're seeing their content dry up. You know, the Seinfelds and the Friends are leaving the platform, and you know, even this show, it's great, but how long can it go? I mean, these kids are about to be grown up here pretty soon. So,
and I had the same problem. I was like, literally, you can't keep doing this like this, because it's like they're getting too old.
However, I mean, maybe they do a flash forward or something along those lines.
Look, I'm going to just tell you that this first part of the season is much more a horror aspect of it. It's really good. I really enjoyed so far what I got out of it.
No, honestly, probably the only reason I haven't watched it yet is because that's one of the few shows that my fiance will watch that isn't reality TV. And so we've been saving it because COVID, and I've been stuck in the other room for a week and a half.
It really, there's something to it. And like, I don't love looking at some of these actors and like, oof, you've really aged in a weird way and you've gotten like adolescent face.
Half those kids should be in an X-Men movie by now, damn it.
Hey, look, I still think the New Mutants could have been great.
You know, and that's the thing that's a shame, is that I feel like I hope that gets reused down the line. I'm really interested to see what version of the X-Men we're going to get. Like, there's so many different, like the current one's bananas, where they live on Krakoa and they've terraformed Mars and they've got like everybody on the side of mutants kind of thing. But you know, they could do the 90s stuff, they could do the 80s stuff, they could do the 70s stuff. There's really so much ground for them to cover. Like, it's really kind of, and who knows, I feel like with the way the MCU's gone, might be a little mixture of all of them. You know, we might get a character that looks like a 1970s Wolverine, but we get a 1990s Cyclops next to a 2020 Jean Grey. You know, we'll see where they go with this. But yeah, it's funny because there was a time where I'd kind of hoped that the X-Men would be TV shows, because I really feel like the X-Men could be that Game of Thrones-esque drama where you've got schools and teams on different continents, and you know, things are happening in England and New York and San Francisco and Massachusetts and, you know, Australia, or however you wanted to set it up.
Sam, you want the X-Men. I know you do.
But now that I've seen these Disney Plus shows, I go, keep them in the movies. I don't know that I want, you know, this watered down version of, you know, especially because it's like, I feel like they could probably stretch the budget and make the action even better if they didn't feel the need to have like an action scene in every episode. Like they could cheap out on certain things and just have it be Hank McCoy working on the lab in a whole episode. Like, look at they Breaking Bad had a whole episode where they just chased a fucking fly around the lab for a whole
season. Right. Drama, and that's the thing. Drama does not equal action, and action does not equal drama. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're, and like, let me segue for just a second. This is where I love the Apple TV Plus show Severance, because it does just that. It's not action, but boy, oh boy, is it drama. And the cerebral nature of just of this, of ideas. Finally, I think we're starting to see some movies that are popping out recently that actually, I think on the Doctor Strange trailer, or, you know, the previews, like I was actually like, wow, we've got some movies that are coming out that actually look very interesting that are not this.
Well, and that's the one I really want to watch. I downloaded it, and my normal computer is barely alive these days, and so I can't play my Plex anymore. And I really want to watch that Everything Always Everywhere
yes.
at Once
yes.
movie. That and yes. it sounds like it's what we wanted Doctor Strange to be.
Exactly.
Is that it leans into it and goes like, yeah, here's the multiverse, fuckers. Like, this is, we're going to blow your mind. So I have a copy of it purchased off of Vudu on my computer. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Okay.
But that's one that's on my list. And then, you know, it's one that I would love to hear what people have to think about it is, I watched Our Flag Means Death, which I saw just got covered on the Mothership recently. And
yeah, is that a series or a movie?
Yeah, it's a series. 10 episodes. Taika Waititi produced it, I believe. He's in it as well as Blackbeard the Pirate. And it's about this fancy lad named Steed, who is a rich guy who upends his life and buys a boat and decides to become a pirate. And it's funny, but I mean, again, I watched it when I was stuck in a room with COVID, so I definitely, my attention was askew, but I went through the whole thing. Like, it definitely had some funny stuff of, like, you know, Blackbeard wants to learn how to be like in top society places. So he's teaching this guy how to be a pirate while this guy's teaching him how to use the salad fork versus the oyster fork versus the soup spoon versus how to eat at a fancy dinner party and how to have conversations and stuff. So it's got some really funny stuff to it, but it's like, it's also weird. I mean, it plays with like identity, and there's definitely a lot of, there's a couple different gay characters. And like, I wondered if this was partially like a euphemism, like being a pirate, like is like for like hiding yourself or being in the closet or something like that. But it's a really interesting show. Like, and it just got renewed for a season two. So it obviously did pretty well on HBO Max, but yeah, it's got an interesting cast of characters. It's got some good, let's see, Leslie Jones plays a couple scenes in it. You know, it's got some SNL alum that show up in it, and you know, a couple of actors that you'll recognize play, like come in for an episode here or there.
Okay,
but I need some other people's opinions on it. I haven't talked to anybody else that's seen it yet. Yeah. So it's kind of one of those shows where I've watched it and I'm like, I kind of enjoyed it. I'm not gonna bang the pot and tell people to watch it, but if it was something you were thinking about checking out, like watch a couple episodes, get back to me, tell me what you think.
I was never a fan of this. Like it just kind of, I watched a few episodes here and there. I was never a big fan, but I wasn't expecting Kids in the Hall came back.
Anybody that has watched it has like, I heard even, who's the actor? Luke Skywalker loved it.
Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill,
I guess, I guess he was tweeting about how great it was, but now that I know he's in it, that kind of diminishes his recommendation.
He's in it in a way that like is extremely minimal, like very minimal. I watched the whole thing straight through, not in a one-time binge. I spread it out. I really enjoyed myself. And it was the idea of like, hey, you know, we know that we're old now and kind of bring that into play. But I'll tell you what, they have their own take on sketch comedy that is very well worth watching.
You know, it's funny. I wasn't the biggest Kids in the Hall fan growing up. Like, I always thought it was weird. I think part of it was I didn't understand the concept of the fact that it was four guys putting on a sketch show. And so sometimes they had to play the ladies. Like, I was just kind of like, why don't they just get some lady actors? I don't get it. Like, it's like looking at it now, it's kind of funny. And they did sometimes too. That's what's weird about it is that they weren't afraid to. And there was an old Neve Campbell one where she played a schoolgirl that came into a pizza place. And the pizza guys were all nervous. You know, when a guy would come in, it was $5 for this slice and a Coke. But when the girls came in, it was 50 cents. And then the napkin dispenser was on a shelf on the like top shelf above like the table where they had to get on a chair and reach up for it. And I was just going like, oh my God, this would get someone canceled today. Good Lord.
Yeah. So. Well, and they still follow that, which is amazing. I mean, like if you can get through, and again, this is the crazy part. Amazon allows it to be an hour for an episode.
How many episodes?
I want to say 7, and there's a strong cliffhanger.
Well, and see, there you go. Amazon, 7 episodes. Have you heard of any platform having a 7-episode TV show? No. I mean, The Boys does 8.
And Disney Plus and, but does it's 6. But it's 7 hours. That's the difference.
But and that's what I'm saying, though, the two is that rather than being like, ooh, we need to make it 8. Like, so cool. So we can either make them all a little bit shorter, or we can just shove an episode in there that's not going to be as funny because you guys want it to be 8. Like, I think that's the right move right now is that these people are coming to it in like a kind of almost a terrestrial, we got to fill a certain amount of hours like perspective when the better creative decision is let the creators tell you how many episodes it is and then figure it out type of thing. Like, you know, like could Moon Knight have been 5? Yep. You know, could, I mean, I don't even know how to fix Falcon and the Winter Soldier because it had so many little things in it that I love, but yet was so disjointed because they obviously had some sort of pandemic.
I know.
They cut from it, you know? So, but it's like, it's like there's a lot of these shows that even with the Daredevil shows, you could pull out an episode here or there and be like, take this out. I mean, you know, I'd say even the other ones, you could take out 2 or 3 episodes. Of,
Sam, like, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want them to do Daredevil. And I know they're going to do it.
It's coming.
I'm very, very scared about it.
Well, I am cautiously optimistic. We'll see, you know, but then again, I was cautiously optimistic about the She-Hulk show. And then the trailer came out and I was like, ooh, they have not perfected her CGI yet. This is, you know, it took them a long time to get the Hulk looking good. This is not, I guess it's a little harder when the Hulk has long hair and smiles and can talk.
No, it would have been fine. But like, I mean, they showed us what it's about.
I think that's the, if it really is just a half hour, almost comedy about her trying to defend like the
then
abomination.
Lean into the comedy.
I'm good with that. Yeah. Then that's what I want. I hope it doesn't give me a fight every episode. WandaVision didn't.
Mm-mm.
You know, so I think that's one of the lessons they need to learn is that, or you know what, if you do feel that need, release them 2 at a time or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's how HBO Max has done it with certain shows where they'll release 2 a week. That's how they release Tokyo Vice.
You know, if WandaVision was 4 hours, that would have been great.
Like a four, like what? You mean like 4 1-hour episodes? Or
I'd have taken that.
Yes, that's what I mean is I think that Disney, especially Disney's really, like you see Amazon seems to have their episode counts on point. I mean, whether it's The Boys or Invincible or the Kids in the Hall. I mean, and the thing is, they don't have that many shows that I watch on there, but the ones that I do, man, I love them.
They're all quality.
Yeah, I mean, even the boys cartoon was pretty good. And so,
yeah,
I think that's maybe the lesson that these streamers need to realize, is that, like, yeah, we get it that you want, for a certain amount of dollars, you expect a certain amount of minutes per dollar investment on these shows and everything. But I think that sometimes maybe if you're, I mean, especially you're all chasing the same customers right now. Like, honestly,
but don't you want to talk about it?
I think that's the new currency, though, is that, okay, you're about to max out on people. So, like, now what's going to get people to sign up? Social media buzz, word of mouth, critic response. So, I mean, like, the same thing that FX is known for is going to be, like, the thing that I think specializes some of these networks down the line. I mean, unless one of them just wants to be the generic, like, we want to be the new CW, where we put out okay superhero shows every day of the week. Like, okay, well, if that's what your business model is.
And Sam, they've canceled a bunch of those.
What I mean is that, look, there's room in the marketplace. Although, heck, I saw an ad for some superhero show that was on, like, the Disney Channel or something today that I didn't even know was a thing. It was like Superhero High or some bullshit that I was like, oh, that's a thing. Okay.
Pass.
But that's what I mean, is that there's probably more of it out there than we even know about. You know, it's like there's different versions of Marvel cartoons. I mean, there's Spider-Man cartoons going on that I don't know. I don't watch Disney XD. I don't have kids.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No.
Well, pass. What do you got? You got anything on your to-do list? I mean, I since I have COVID, and my wedding is 8 days from as of this recording, I'm not allowed to go anywhere. So even once I am over it in 2 days, I have still been barred from going anywhere just because. So I will not be seeing Top Gun until after I'm married.
Yeah, I actually,
and I probably will not be seeing Jurassic World either.
No, that's going to be a pass. I'd like to see Maverick, sort of.
It's a very not flimsy, but pretty. It was exactly what I feared, is that it was just going to be a kind of a wannabe remake of the first one. But I've heard that even though it is, it's still just like good times, good vibes. Strap in and have a good time.
I'm okay with that. I'm going out to Dublin for a week starting Sunday. So frankly, my week is going to be busy.
So you're just going to load up Morbius on the iPad.
I think I might watch Morbius. I need to see this garbage.
You need to load up Morbius and then Everything Always Everywhere at Once.
That's the one movie I really have been very interested in.
Although I feel like watching that on like a phone on your way to Dublin is not exactly the ideal.
No, movie. Of course not. But you know that Bullet Train movie with
that
Brad
looks
Pitt,
good. It looks like it was a fun throwback action movie.
Yes, I'm excited for that. No. That's what I saw for Doctor Strange. I was like, man, this movie looks really good.
No, that one surprised me, where I was like, oh, this didn't tell me anything about the plot, except this guy's got this briefcase and I'm into it. Okay, that's cool. Like, I'll check this out. I feel like we're getting a little better quality. Since that we had that glut, it's like we're getting better quality movies in the theaters these days. Like, I mean, even though it's just like Top Gun.
I want to see some risky movies. Though I started trying to watch Licorice Pizza. And I really like P.T. Anderson a lot. And that found that movie to be impenetrable. And I've got to watch it.
I have it downloaded. I haven't given it a try.
It's on my Plex.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can access yours.
There you go. Sam, we've gone for an hour. We've talked about a lot of things.
I'm trying to think of anything else coming up. Oh, I guess we got Miss Marvel coming up in June, July.
Pass.
See, I'll watch all the Marvel stuff.
That's fine. I disconnected Disney Plus until they come out with something good that I really want to see. I'll turn it back on.
Although I have a feeling this is going to be Miss Marvel's going to be kind of the next Ant-Man, as in it's going to be kind of a kids family show.
I don't know what it's going to be. That's fine. That it is fine. Just don't make it all. Don't try to interlock that. I don't think that we need to interlock it.
No, I have a feeling that it's definitely going to be interlocked, because she's a huge fan. So that's one that you kind of have to, with her whole story is that she's like a girl that writes fan fiction about these heroes. So you can't have that be like a, no, she doesn't, this doesn't have anything to do with the heroes out there. It's like, yeah, it's kind of baked into her DNA.
It's not my world. It's not my thing.
We need to get this man a wrestling match. He's gotten grumpy.
Look, CM Punk is what just relinquished the title. He had it for a week.
CM Punk. Wasn't he a DJ? Now he's a wrestler.
Stop.
Or am I thinking of somebody else?
You definitely are thinking of somebody else.
Am I thinking of DJ something? I don't know. All right. I'm getting delirious. Oh my God. It's I can't believe how late it is. All right.
I know. It's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, folks.
Everybody.
Yeah. Tell them what's up, Sam.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back with some Obi-Wan wrap up at the end of this, maybe a little Miss Marvel, maybe a little theater action once Moses back from Dublin.
Yeah, look, you got two episodes and you weren't even expecting this. So that's what you get.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be smart and spread them out. Not put them out back to back, but
no,
we're rarely that.
Maybe we should though.
We should learn how to start batching content.
Maybe. Who knows?
I need you to move up your timeline for watching things about 30 days for us to do that.
30 days. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we will see you on the flip side when we see you. Right.
Later, everybody.